everybody. This is Joe Klein, and I am recording from Mumbai, India. We're actually outside of Somaya College. You are listening to Stutter Talk. Today is Monday night, June 1st. And the reason we're outside is I'm actually recording here with some questionable characters who are not allowed inside the college. Luckily for all of us, they also happen to be people who stammer. So I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce themselves. You've already heard from one of them, but let's let you guys introduce yourselves, and then we'll kind of have a conversation. And I'm really interested to know what your history was like growing up here in Mumbai as a child who stammers, and then sort of on into finding out what it was like to get some support for your stammering. So go ahead, introduce yourselves, give us your name, where you're from, and anything else you want to say.
Hello everyone. This is Gaurav Dubey, and I'm a stammerer from Mumbai, India. And I have been like associated with the Mumbai self-help group, which is a part of, which is the Mumbai chapter of the Indian Stammering Association.
Hello, good evening everyone. My name is Jugal Hemnani. And I am also from Mumbai, India. And even I stutter when I speak. And I'm so grateful for that. It's because of my stutter that I got this moment of fame. And I'm doing my first podcast interview. All thanks to my stuttering. And I was born with it. I really don't know what the exact cause is, and I really don't want to know. But yes, even me, I'm also part of Mumbai self-help group. And it is because of the meeting and our support group that we have really got comfortable, and we can finally say that we have found our voice.
Nice.
Hi everyone, this is Dhruv, and I'm from Mumbai.
All right, thanks. And you got to hear Dhruv talk on a past episode as well. So we've got some cars going by, and the horns are a constant sound you'll hear in Mumbai. So that's fantastic. Gaurav, can we start with you? What was it like growing up here in Mumbai? Did you receive any therapy at all for your stammering in schools? How'd your parents feel about your stammering? Anything you'd like to talk about?
There are many stuff like I would like to share about. To start with my third therapies, I had gone for a speech therapy when I was of the age of 12, and when I had approached that particular speech doctor, so my therapy experience was not that good. The doctor didn't knew much about acceptance and all the other things that stammerer should know actually. So she just made me do read a few storybooks and dictate the story in front of her. So the therapy was not much that fruitful. Because that doctor never ever dealt with that the emotional part of stammering that's involved along with it. So she only tried to tackle the 10% of the iceberg that's above the water level, and didn't care about the 90% of the fact that deals with emotions and psychological factor associated with it. So that was my first experience with a speech therapist. And apart from that, about my experience with parents, one of the thing that I always find is that parents tell their children that they don't stutter much, and they are not the normal people who stutter. So when parents say this thing to their kids, what it actually results in is that like the kids develop a hatred towards stuttering. Like what was in my case is that I started hating my stuttering, which eventually led in I started hating myself, which eventually I didn't had that self respect in myself, and I lost my confidence. So I truly believe the parent psychology plays a major role in stuttering. I don't know if we call it as a treatment or therapy. Parents should help their children and understand like what's the real meaning of acceptance.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really well said. Jigal, how about you? Do you remember? Good. We've got a rickshaw parked here right in front of us. And in they go. Jigal, do you remember what your early therapy was like? And do you know... what your parents thought the cause of your stammering was?
Yes, I remember my early therapy, but a very funny story. I don't remember the therapy, but I remember how my mom used to take me to this place in Bombay called Nair Hospital. A very funny thing, like today I asked my mom, like, you remember, mom, how we went for the therapy? And she doesn't remember, but I clearly and vividly remember like the place how we went to that how we went to Nair Hospital was my mom used to take me in a ladies compartment train, and I remember the rush. I remember I used to get squeezed between the ladies. Then I also remember the room in which I started my therapy. It was brown colored room, and the reason I remember it so clearly is because it has had a very great impact in my life. Unfortunately, the treatment I couldn't. I didn't get the treatment or the right treatment. Like there were only fluency shaping and reading practices that I did in my initial first two sessions with the therapist. And how did my family take about my stammering is they took like they did their whatever they could, but unfortunately there were not many doctors and speech language pathologists equipped to deal with such kind of patients, if I may say so. So they did their part, and it was only an unfortunate time that we didn't have much equipped and knowledgeable doctors in Mumbai. That's about it.
All right, nice, thank you. And you know, that's it's not that different. I think a lot of our experience in the United States as well. Dhruv, you didn't grow up here in Mumbai. You were an international superstar from a very early age. But can you talk about your experiences growing up and what your mother maybe thought was the cause of your stammering?
So I like remember the first time I got therapy. I was about like 9 or 10 years old. And the speech therapist was an Australian lady, and she's due to come to our house, and she would play games with me. So she'd give me cards to look at, and then I'd have to make a sentence from those cards, and the whole point of that therapy was so I would speak slowly, take breaths, and sort of basically speak fluently. And with her, I would always be 100% fluent, because it was only her. We're in my living room, and it was very safe. I got to know her very well. I was always fluent, and she basically told my mom that, you know what, like your son's fine. Don't worry, he doesn't stammer. He's totally cool. So that's what happened. And but of course, at school I would have a very hard time, but at home I'd be fluent. So it wouldn't really be helping me at all. Again, like Gaurav as well, there was no sort of connection below the iceberg at all. That was not discussed. And then my second time in therapy was actually in Mumbai. We have lots of family here, so we came back here in middle school, and we went to this this lady for therapy. I don't remember who it is now. Or where she is, but I guess I can sort of dig that up soon. There's a rickshaw passing us, hold on. That rickshaw is doing some great repetitions, huh? So I got for to therapy in Mumbai. And again, a very similar thing happened. I was basically in therapy, and with her in her room, I was completely fluent, like talking fluently. And she basically told my mom as well, your child is fine. He doesn't stutter. He doesn't have any problem. And then a week or so later, we were in the shopping mall. It's called Shopper Stop over here in Mumbai. And we were in the elevator. And then I started talking because I wanted to tell my mom something. Other people were there as well. And I was stammering. And my mom at that point in time just the thought that I don't think she knew why I was stammering, but she knew that the speech therapist had said I was fluent, so it must be something that I was doing. So she got really upset with me, and then she decided that it was my fault and got really angry with me. I learned from that point on that stammering is wrong and I should not stammer. And I think I started to develop negative feelings towards my stammering. Those two are my two sort of experiences with speech therapists.
All right, nice guys. So, Gaurav, what was college like for you? And then, one of the differences I've noticed between being in Mumbai and being in America is that here in Mumbai, it seems like the males and the females are a lot more separated than they are in America. So it's probably harder to meet girls anyway, and then you also stammer. So can you just kind of talk about that for a second?
Yeah, sure, Joe. Actually, when we joined colleges, the first day of college, when it was when we had to introduce ourselves to the classes, so that day indeed was very scary. And as it happens for every stammerer, we stammer on our name the most, and especially when it's in when we have to introduce ourselves to the group. So like the same thing happened with me also. Like in both the years of my junior college, I stammered a lot. And adding to your point, like what happens in Mumbai is that like there's like the boys and girls they are separated. So it was in the first instance itself, like we are shy of girls here, and adding to that, when I was a stammerer, so interacting with the girls was really a tough time for me. So, and it was not basically for the fact that like the girls thought something like bad for me or like anything like that, but it was me myself who thought like if I would stammer, then that would create a false impression like about me in front of those girls. So because of stammering, what happened is that I turned into a kind of a shy and introvert guy. So it was a tough time. Yeah,
absolutely. How about you, Jikong?
Yeah, for me also, the first day of the school, the first day of the new class was the most dreaded days of my school life. And I always used to, like my friends and my family, they were all excited about my first day at the school, and they used to wish me, "Oh, it's your first day, Jugal, yay, first day." And only I know like what's gonna happen on the first day. And everyone, my friends and my families, they are all excited, but I never enjoyed my first day of the school or colleges, only because we all hate introductions. Although there's so much of to say, so much of to express, but just the fact that we are different from others, like I felt we are different from others, so I really couldn't enjoy my first days in the school. And about the rest of the days, I only used to wish when my school ends and I graduate to college, and then might be once I become big and I get exposed to more knowledge, I might start talking fluently. So my school days, it was all like running away from the situation, and I just wanted myself to see fast forward from the current time. So in my school life, I always wished I used to I get like transported to college, and when I went to my college, I only wish like when I start working, and because once I start working, I might be successful, and once I become successful, I'll gain confidence and I'll clear off my stammering. So I really couldn't enjoy my school life and my college life, and now after working for like 7 years, I wish I could go back to school and enjoy those precious days of my life.
Nice. And again, I think situations that from both you guys that I think everybody who stammers can really identify with. Dhruv, you lived in different countries growing up. You went to college in America, and then you ended up coming back here to Mumbai, really not knowing anybody, and really kind of having to start over again from, you know, not having friends, not having anyone to talk to in the beginning. What was that like for you, and how did that sort of impact your stammering, and tell us about that a little bit.
As Joe said, like I moved back here at the end of 2013 from China, and I had so my family is moving back here as well, and I've got lots of family in Mumbai, like my grandparents are here and my cousins here and all that, but I didn't really have any friends, and my plan moving here was to take the GREs and then go to grad school. So it's kind of a temporary time period for me. So at that time, when I first moved here, I spent a lot of my time in my room studying, and that got really, boring very quickly. because I was like I thought I could do it, like study the whole day and then just like, you know, chill, but it got like really, really hard to even concentrate on studies because I was just so like bored and I think lonely. And I didn't really have any friends to go hang out with on the weekend or anything. On top of that, as you can tell, I speak with an American accent, and I've been growing up with like watching Hindi movies and everything. So I understand Hindi pretty well, but I never really practiced speaking Hindi. So moving here and actually speaking Hindi with people was really tough. And I found that I would actually be embarrassed to even speak Hindi because I knew when I spoke Hindi I had an accent. And people would I don't know. I felt they would judge me or make fun of me. So that was number one. On top of that, I was stammering. So it got like really tough for me to go to even a very simple place like a grocery store, anywhere, and even ask a question in Hindi. I'd be really embarrassed. I'd be stammering, and it was sort of really tough. It was quite tough, and I think that's why I then looked up to kind of see if there was any sort of like stammering group in India, and that's when I found the Indian Stammering Association. And it was kind of cool because just a month after I sort of like found the blog and everything, the Indian Stammering Association had their national conference in Delhi, and I was able to attend that in 2013, and it was honestly life changing, because right before that, in January 2013, I had done therapy at AIS in New York, and that was the first time I had met other people who stammer, like a group of adults who stammer. But here I was in Delhi with 80 Indian people who stammer, and I was just shocked that it really made me realize that there's so many people who stammer everywhere in the world, and I just felt really at home there. So I must say that the Indian Stammering Association definitely helped me have a soft landing in India.
Very cool, very cool. Gaurav, how about you? How did you end up finding the Indian Stammering Association, and you know what's been helpful, if anything, in you know helping you make some changes either in how you view stuttering or how you speak or anything at all?
It was in my in my engineering days when there was a job pressure and everything, I had to face interviews and everything else. So I was just trying to search for a solution to my stammering. So in that search, I came across the Yahoo blog, the Yahoo group of Indian PWS. So that was a group of stutterers in India. And I came through a post in which it was specified the next self-help group meeting would be happening in Mumbai at so and so place. So it was through that group that I came to know about the Indian self-help movement that's happening in Mumbai and in India. So in the initial days, I wasn't quite regular in this SSG meetings. It happened only after January 2014 that we had a workshop here in Mumbai. So I got like closely associated with Mumbai SSG, and since January, like I and like since January 2014, I have been taking a lead in holding the SSG meetings in Mumbai. So that gave me a very good experience in helping other stammerers to come out of their comfort zone and to participate in SSG meetings. Since then we now have our SSG meetings every Sunday, and we have it.
Nice. And the SSG is the Stuttering Support Group meetings, and they're really amazing. You guys do have a great turnout. I got to go to one that you had just yesterday. They're every Sunday afternoon from 1:30 until 4 o'clock here in Mumbai at the YMCA, and I think you had about 25 people there, 27 people, something like that. So a big turnout. It was really incredible. How about you, Jugal? How did you find the support group, and what kind of difference has it made?
How did I find the support group? It's also a very a long and a very funny story, but I'll make it quick. I mentioned to you, I was always running away from my situations. So finally I started working, and then when I started working, even then I couldn't find satisfaction in my job, and I was feeling stagnated in my profile. So I took a sabbatical from my work, and I went back to complete my master's in media and entertainment, and only to gain that confidence, because I thought might be if I become more knowledgeable, I'll become confident, and in that confidence I'll be fluent. So in that chase of fluency, I took a sabbatical from my work, and I started doing my master's. And in my master's program, we had to do a presentations every day, and I used to be very bad in my presentations, and then towards the end of my program, a friend looking at my struggle every day, he just tells me casually, "Hey Jugal, I think you should join this this group called Toastmasters." And I was like, "Toast, yeah, tell me about it, tell me more about it." So and then I googled about Toastmasters, and then I used to attend the Toastmasters meeting. So Toastmasters is a general platform where anybody can come, and so it was more of a communication and leadership program, and then it's there where I met this wonderful person called Dhruv Gupta, who I witnessed his speech there in Toastmasters. It was about a McDonald's burger, and it was his story where he started, and he had made a speech around his incident of stuttering, and I was really felt good. Because we all stutterers have so much of so many such wonderful stories, and then I spoke to Dhruv, and Dhruv welcomed me. He invited me to the self-help group that we do, and fortunately not fortunately, but yeah, and that self-help group happened to be at my neighborhood. So the place where I stay is called Ghatkopar in Mumbai, and I ran from situations. I went so many places. I went to so many different places, and I found the solution right at my doorstep, right at my neighborhood. So that is how I found this group, and it would be one and a half years spent in this group, and I've learned a lot. I knew so much about stammering. Like I've done like PhD in stammering, but it's through the support group and through this wonderful French convention and a workshop by Dr. Joe, where I came to know there's like so much to learn, like so much more to learn, and it's been great. Been great so far.
Awesome, fantastic. Dhruv, you know, you guys, I think here do a really good job as far as sort of sharing the leadership roles, and that it's not just one person who leads, but a lot of you really have taken on the leadership of the group, which is so fantastic. What would you say, what are you guys trying to accomplish with the group? With the support groups, what's the goal, and what are you hoping the takeaway messages are for the people who attend the support groups?
So Our support groups here are called SSGs, which stands for self-help group. And the reason they're called self-help group is because the whole idea is so people come there, and sort of realize that the answer to their problem or their issue, whatever you want to call it, their gift is themselves. And they are the only ones who can really help themselves. So that's the whole idea behind it. So our aim at the SSGs that we have all across India are to sort of help empower the individual person who stammers to realize they are the answer. And there's no expert who's going to come and fix your problem. You have to look within to fix it yourself. The answer lies within. So that's our goal, be behind these groups, and we sort of like live that through empowering individuals who come to the SSG to take on leadership. So we allow people to conduct sessions in the SSG themselves, and we sort of just that's the whole goal. So people can come in to help themselves, and then at the same time they can also give back and help others. So it's a motto of service.
Very cool, very cool. We started this podcast on Monday night here in Mumbai. It's now Tuesday morning here in Mumbai, so we should probably wrap things up. I'd love to talk more to you guys, hopefully. I know I want to talk more about things like acceptance and awareness, and I know that Jigal has done some meditation retreats that really tie into all that, and it would be really cool to interview all you guys about how this all kind of ties in together in a way. So hopefully we'll have time to do that before I leave on Wednesday night, but that's going to be all for now. I hope everybody's doing really well back home in the U.S. and around the world, and more soon. Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.